Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. James Franklin with his press conference today. As Penn State gets ready for Iowa, which will be Saturday night at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. 7:30 will be the kick. And the airtime set for 6 o'clock here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It will be the lead team for ABC on Saturday night, which means it will be Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. They will be the television broadcast team. If you care for what we have to say, then you'll be on News Radio 1070 WKOK. But that'll give you all the options and lay it out for you. Today, Neil Coulon. We're going to talk about the Steelers. And we're also going to talk a little bit about some of the issues in the very carefully crafted National Football League. And it is very carefully crafted. It's interesting. Last night, Ben McAdoo, the head coach of the Giants, was talking about a delay of game the Giants took inside the five-yard line, and it cost them yardage, and then they settled for a field goal, and he put it on Eli Manning. Well, the rest of the game you can put on Ben McAdoo. I watched it last night. Here's one of the beauties last night. Whose call was it on fourth down and a yard when your team's really struggling offensively in the fourth quarter? Maybe we ought to think about going for it here. No, I think I'll punt. Nice, safe call, Ben. Nice. Oh, I can't believe they ran it back 82 yards for a touchdown. Great call. The entire league, not the entire league, the vast majority of this league is playing everything safe. It's always a safe pass. It's always the safe call. Let's show something. You know, guess what? You know what the National Football League is? It's an entertainment entity. So now, to borrow the great quote from the movie Gladiator, are you not entertained? I don't know about you, Sean. I'm waiting.
I think you should have concerns about your team. I think that window is...
Oh, no.
I think that window is closing.
No, they're not good. They're not good, and Eric Flowers is a huge reason why, and the lack of a running back is a huge reason why, because Flowers, right, he can't block anybody. For 2 years, hasn't been able to block anybody. So why anybody thinks he is the answer at left tackle, especially with a quarterback that has limited mobility to begin with, is absurd, and they never have a running back with that group.
That's the next thing I was going to say to you. Is it me, or does Eli Manning look slow or slower?
Well, you're going to look slower when you got a guy bearing down from you on your backside. I mean, anybody's going to look slow when your left tackle is not to league standard. That's you. That's a big part of it. Hey. But they also play too safe. Everything safe, 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 safe. Then he finally gets a chance. He puts a perfect pass out to Marshall, and the ex-million-dollar man just drops the ball.
Yeah, I'd say I would have thought Brandon Marshall would have made that team better and a great compliment to Odell Beckham Jr., but Beckham Jr. is not 100% yet. So, I'll give that a pass, but this just thinking out loud on what I watched last night.
Look, the good news is there's good news and bad news for the Giants. The good news is they're only the fourth best team in their own division. The bad news is they're only four teams.
How'd you do in the swim meet, Cindy? I finished fourth. Hey, congrats. How many swims?
Yeah. You're hoping they, you're hoping that they don't ask that question.
Right.
Especially when they come back, it's in the ribbon says participant.
How'd you do, Bobby? I finished third. Well, they were
we all got a trophy. Okay.
There's only three guys in the race, Greg.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you don't want to ask that question. You don't want to. The other part, too, is I wanted to get into this a little bit on today's show, is booth replays. Everybody has a booth replay now. Now, to me, the one that does it the best and the most efficient is what I'm going to go over and watch a little bit of tonight, because the NHL's here tonight. The Penguins and the Sabres are playing at Pagula tonight. So after football practice, I'm just going to walk over from the football practice field. I'm going to take in not all of it, but maybe take in a period and watch it. I'm not sure. I know Jack Eichel is playing for Buffalo tonight. I don't know who the Penguins have brought. So, but it'll just be fun to see that in Pagula. But that league, they only review goals, but they sure are quick about it, and they sure are efficient with it. Football, I mean, the efficiency, where is it? And I'll tell you what's really bothering me, Sean, is I'm after all these years, instant replay is not new. Wouldn't you think by now, between technicians and replay officials, that this would be like clockwork to them?
Yeah, how many times do you have to see it over and over to make a concrete decision? Okay, all right, that didn't happen. All right, I'll reverse the call. But yeah, I mean, Rodney Gilmore made that great point when he joined us before the Penn State-Akron game. Yeah, I mean, it's just they're just reviewing things they really shouldn't have to review. That has something to do with it, too.
That's definitely part of it. And here's another part that really bothers me. And it's this. When it's obvious, get it over with. I'll give you two instances in Penn State games. One was the opener with Akron, and one was Saturday night with Georgia State. In the Akron game, the touchdown that Barkley scored, not the 80-yard run, which originally everybody thought was 87, and that he stepped out of bounds. Okay, all right? I'm not talking about that run. I'm talking about the touchdown he actually did score, the one from, 20-something yards out. You know, remember they reviewed that play. So Jack and I look at each other like, they're reviewing that play? All right. You know, and so your first thought is, well, maybe there's something we didn't see. And then we watch the replay, and he's a full yard, if not more, inbounds and goes into the end zone. The two of us are looking like, what the heck are we watching this for? And they kept going and waiting and going and waiting, and neither one of us never did find out what in the heck they were looking at. It should have taken one look and go, okay, we're good, and moved on. Yet for two and a half minutes, everybody in the stadium had to wait while they did something. Okay. Now, Saturday night. I think McSorley threw a ball to his left, like left middle. And Georgia State DB dove for the ball, and originally they called it an interception. Okay, it's fine. I understand. The field, bang, bang, fast. We're going to review the play. Okay. So they go over and they look at it. So we look at it, and Big Ten Network had a great angle on it. They were right there with it, low sideline. You can see right away, boom, the ball hits the ground, and he traps it. Okay. And then we wait. And BTN then shows an over-the-top view. Okay, they show another view. And then they go back to the one where from the side where it hits. It's obvious. It's over. How long did we wait on that, Sean? 2.5, 3 minutes?
I know you had a chance to talk to Glenn Mason after the game. Did you guys bring that up?
Yeah, he says, I don't know what they're looking at. None of us know what they're looking at. at all. I mean, there's so many calls that when they go to replay, it's obvious. End it. Move on. Move on. Now, they keep talking about the length of the game. You're contributing to the length of the game. Stop contributing to the length of the game. Hey, that call was from the get-go. First view. Oh, okay, well, that's... Okay. And again, it had no bearing on the game, the outcome of the game. None. Zero. And I do appreciate anyone's opportunity to try and get it right. But there are a couple of these, the Barkley play and that play, where I'm sorry, you don't have to be an official to know what the right call is and move on. And I don't understand what's taking them so long, because you're at a point now with replay. I don't care whether it's Major League Baseball, hockey, basketball, NBA or college, football, NFL or college, where they've all been in place for such a long time now, Sean, that it should be like clockwork. There are certain plays where I completely understand it takes a little more time. It really is that close. It's razor thin. Those I completely understand.
Yeah, during the offseason, sometimes I'll look at the schedule and I'll think, oh, yeah, this game, that game, yeah, that'll be a quick 3:05, 3:10 game. I mean, Saturday night, you're pushing 11 o'clock when it's finally over.
Yeah. And part of it is, at least on one part of it, they wasted everybody's time in the building on this ridiculous replay where on the very first look, the first one we got, okay, there it is, okay, it's over. I mean, for anybody listening on the broadcast, you heard us say right away it was over. And it had no bearing on what the outcome of the game was going to be. Zero. And you could see, boom, ball goes through his hands, it hits the ground, and he falls on it. It doesn't take a genius to look at that and see it. And they've got a problem. And the problem is not on the field. The problem is upstairs. And I mentioned this last year about the problem being upstairs. And I think part of the problem the NFL has occasionally with length of it is that is the centralized look in New York. Where, yeah, I don't know how many replays they're looking at one time. But it takes a while. The NBA is at centralized in Secaucus. Now, the NHL is very efficient, but they only look at whether it's a goal or goal, no goal. That's centralized in Toronto. Major League Baseball is there centralized in New York. Now, the Big Ten has kicked in with centralized, for example, this game, Penn State-Iowa on Saturday night. They'll have a centralized look in Chicago at it. They do. I wonder if there's too many cooks here. I have no idea. But there are just a couple of these that are obvious that just make the ruling and move on. You don't complain to me about the length of the game. I'll never forget. Now this is more when instant replay was in its infancy. Doing the Orange Bowl game with Florida State, I think they did between 8 and 12 somewhere in that range, replays that night. Like, every time we turn around, plays under review, and like, we look at each other in the booth, of why is that play under review? Now, there was a play in the end zone with Ethan Kilmer at the end of the half. Of course, you have to replay that, because that was such an acrobatic play. Did he come down with the ball, keep possession, the whole thing? I mean, that stuff I completely understand. You're trying to check, get it right, so forth. But some of these are so obvious from the get-go, and then we sit there and the officials there looking at it on the field with his little mini box camera, and the guy next door to us is looking with like all these 5,000 screens around him, all in HD clarity. Don't do it in such a way where you're going to start ruining everybody's experience. it still is an entertainment medium in the guise of being a competitive game. Now, Big Ten season starts on Saturday night. We'll see. Well, all I know is that in the last couple of years, I have had fewer and fewer complaints with officiating on the field. Fewer and fewer issues with it. My issues have been upstairs with the people that are getting the extra close look, and I'm not sure what they're looking at or why. I mean, they've confused me much more than the people on the field have. Powerful earthquake really pounding central Mexico, 7.1 on the Richter scale. Any details we get, we'll pass along to you as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Penn State football is on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Goodbye, he is gone! Touchdown, Penn State, say goodbye!
Penn State football is sponsored by Birdie Insurance Agency, Sunbury Motors, Turbinville Bank, W&L Subaru, Custom Care Pharmacy, Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck.
It's the Big Ten opener at Kinnick Stadium. The Nittany Lions in Iowa, 7:30. The kick on at 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We'll talk about Iowa a little bit in the next half hour. My other point about the replay the other night was this. Sometimes it takes longer on the replay, which I understand, when they have to, okay, wait a minute, where's the clock? We have to reset chains, down distance, and so forth. So it does take a little bit longer to get some of that in play. The problem I had the other night was that the Georgia State player went to the ground to try and make the catch, which was ruled originally a catch, as an interception, which meant the clock stopped right away because he was already on the ground. So you had no clock issue. They kept the chains and the down and distance on the field and never moved them. And then they looked at the replay. It turned out it ended up being an incomplete pass. There's no clock issue because the clock had already stopped, and they already had the chains already set down at the other end anyway, so there's no issue with that. And they still took them almost 3 minutes to do it, and everybody's looking at it. They go, what are you doing here? Don't complain to me about, oh, the length of games. We've got to do something about the length of games. Well, then fine. Then do something about yourself. They have to. I'm all for replay because I want to get it right. But I've talked about this before and I'll bring it up again. In any business, in any facet of life, so now let's keep it in sports, a player, a coach, an announcer, an official, the ones that separate themselves are the ones that have a feel for it. I can tell you right now, in the Akron game and the Georgia State game and those replay booths, those people did not have a feel for it. You wasted everybody's time. All right, we'll talk about Iowa. We've got a few things to break down there that you might find interesting going into the game. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hubbles Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Neil Coulon coming up in the next half hour. Sabres and Pens tonight here, matter of fact. As usual, a laundry list of items the Sioux would like me to pick up for him.
I mean, is there a souvenir stand in America that he hasn't hit yet?
Can't think of any off the top. I thought the older he gets, the more he'd kind of dial it back a little bit, but no.
Yeah.
No.
And could you get me Sidney Crosby's autograph?
Sure.
And I said, no. All right. This day in sports history. 1901, all Major League Baseball games canceled for the funeral of U.S. President William McKinley. 1949, Ralph Kiner became the first National League player to hit 50 home runs in two different seasons. 1984, Pete Rose reached the 100-hit plateau for the 22nd consecutive year. He also tied for the National League record for doubles with 725. Mark McGwire, 1997, first Major League player to hit 20 or more home runs for two teams in the same season, his 54th home run of the year. 1999, Sammy Sosa became the first Major League player to hit 60 home runs twice. And in 2002, Tom Gamboa, coach for the Kansas City Royals, was attacked by a man and his son while standing near first base. The two fans were arrested and charged with battery. All sorts of uplifting names in that one, huh? Sammy Sosa, Pete Rose. Not a lot of uplifting names in that report. A lot of those records are not standing. All right. Iowa. Iowa is what you see is what you get. Ryan Ferentz is now their new offensive coordinator. That's Kirk's son. They're 3-0 so far, and they do what they do. And the reason they do what they do is, you know, they feel it's the tried and true way to win. And Jack Ham talks all the time against certain teams, but especially in a game like this, read your keys defensively because the keys will take you to where the ball is. Iowa is the perfect example of that. 8 times out of 10, they will do something up front that takes you to the ball. So reading keys will be critical on Saturday night. Wadley is a really good player. Akram Wadley is really good. James Butler, the transfer from Nevada, racked up some big numbers when he was there. Hurt his elbow. He is out of this game. So Taron Young will be the backup, who actually performed pretty well against North Texas. Their passing game. Nate Stanley's off to a great start. 10 touchdowns, 1 interception. But they don't get much out of it because it's a very much a station-to-station passing game. Let's take the running backs and the fullbacks out of it. He'll get the ball to the running backs and the fullbacks. They have to be really aware of them. But when it comes to the wideouts and the tight ends, they only average 4.4 yards after the catch. That's it. It's a low number. So they're very much a station-to-station passing game. Stanley, a quarterback, is very efficient, but when you put pressure on him, he's only completed 29% of his passes while pressured this year. They want to play keep away. We talked about this before the Pitt game. What was one of the keys to that game? The ability of Pitt to play keep away, and Pitt did. They had the ball for 38 minutes. Iowa is averaging 11 minutes and 6 seconds per game more time of possession than their opponent. Now, we all know Penn State doesn't have a lot of time of possession to begin with. The Nittany Lions are averaging almost 24 minutes time of possession per game, but they're also averaging 47 points. So Penn State's averaging 2 points a minute on possession. But Iowa, they want to keep the ball. They want to keep you off the field. They have an 11.06 per game advantage in time of possession. They're also, look, typical Iowa, 68-32 run pass on first down. So just some things to look at with them. And their linebackers are very talented. I'll tell you, I'll give you a couple guys off the top. The defensive end, Parker Hesse, number 40, really good off the edge. The other guys are good. Hesse can be exceptional. The three linebackers are really good. Josie Jewell, Ben Neiman, Bo Bauer. All three really good. But what's interesting about them is they play further off the line of scrimmage than most linebackers. I felt Penn State destroyed that last year. Why they play a little deeper than other linebackers, I do not know. I can't answer that question. That's something you'd have to ask Phil Parker, their defensive coordinator, about. I can't answer that. Secondary, Manny Rugumba is very good at the one corner. Good-looking player. They'll make a change, by the way, at safety. Imani Hooker will take over at safety and make his first career start, not because of an injury. Jake Gervais made a mistake early in the North Texas game. You look at the tape and go, whoa. He never returned to that game, and now Gervais is backing up Miles Taylor at the other safety, and Imani Hooker gets the start at safety, his first career start. And Hooker, I thought, played pretty well looking at the tape against North Texas. Kicking game's good. Interesting, the punter has never had a punt longer than 47 yards in 2 years. Now, how high he kicks it and things like that, I can't answer that question. I don't know. I haven't looked at him that closely to figure out what, you know whether he'll certainly dump his fair share of punts inside the 20-yard line. He does a great job of that, so he's a very good positional punter, but as long as 47. So if you get them backed up, he is not going to kick you out of it.
So let's go back to Iowa out on the field. When I had a chance to talk to Brandon Smith after the game on Saturday night, he said, yes, we're going to make them one-dimensional. That is our goal. Earlier today, Kirk Ferentz says we plan to utilize all three of our running backs. Which of the three running backs do you think would be key for them
Wadley.
To start?
Yeah. Wadley. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. He is the guy. The other guys are very good, by the way. Young is very good. He's only a freshman, but I thought he ran pretty well. I think he had 78 yards in that game against North Texas the other day after Butler got hurt. Because remember, Young probably wasn't going to play a lot unless it was going to be more of a mop-up role and something like that. But he stepped in there and did a good job. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman, and he had 78 yards. The other kid, Ivory Kelly Martin, true freshman. Not bad. He had 74 yards rushing in the game. In fact, Wadley was not the leading rusher, but Wadley is the key guy. When you look at their team, Wadley is the one real speed guy they have. And he took a swing pass 68 yards. It was a wheel route. Took it 68 yards. Now, they had to take it off the board because he high-stepped his way into the end zone, and they called him for excessive celebration. But, oh well. But he's a good player. Vandenberg is as fine a possession guy as you're going to find. But again, the passing game is bang, bang, and doesn't get a lot out of it. If Iowa's getting yards after the catch on Saturday night, Penn State's got a problem, because that is not their game. Now, they'll get yards after the catch from the running backs. Swing plays, wheel routes, things like that. Yeah, they're going to get that. But the wideouts and the tight ends usually make the catch and maybe get a couple more, and that's it. But, I mean, that's the story on them. It's one thing about that is that what you see with Iowa is what you get. And I respect that. Kirk Ferentz has had a long run there. I think it's his 19th season. And Kirk Ferentz did not get 19 seasons in one spot without understanding exactly his formula to win games. So he's done a great job with it. Some years, not so great. Some years, great. Remember, this program was in the Rose Bowl 2 years ago.
Yep, for those that will be watching the game on Saturday night, Iowa's going to have a stripe out at Kinnick Stadium. They're calling it the Black and Gold Spirit Game.
Yeah,
I think the last time Penn State was out there, I think they had a stripe out.
They did.
Yep.
Yeah.
somebody came up to me and they said, you know, Penn State's 4-12 against Iowa since Ferentz got there. I said, yes. I said, you do know that Penn State's won the last three meetings, right? Oh. You can make anything say anything you want. You know? That's why I'm not worried about it.
Well, it's like what you say. This is a completely different team going up against them and Franklin's new, first time out there. So
right,
you really can't compare it.
New quarterback. A lot of the same in the offensive line. Jackson, the left tackle, has been a little bit of a problem for them, but the other four linemen have really graded out well. They're good. But Jackson, the left tackle, has not. The guys up front, the two Nelsons, Matt Nelson, Anthony Nelson, okay. Lattimore, okay. But Hesse, number 40, I think has a chance to be exceptional. Three linebackers are really good. Manny Rugumba, number 5, the corner, I think is very good. But, yeah, I'll tell you, Josh Jackson, by the way, has a couple of picks so far. He also has a block kick this year, too. So, that's at least a thumbnail of them. And Stanley, again, 10 touchdowns, only one pick. He's done a good job for them so far this year. But when he is pressured, he's only a 29% passer under pressure. All right, we'll come back. Neil Coulong in a moment. We'll set up what we're going to talk about, Neil, about how careful the NFL is and how boring it's become. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia is having their annual new Kia inventory adjustment sale. Every brand new Kia's price will be adjusted to make room for the 18. Sunbury Motors Kia has 12 2017 Kia Souls starting at $15,996. That's $3,204 off the iconic Kia Soul. Sunbury Motors Kia has the deepest discount on their most popular Kia Sorento this month only. Take $5,221 off all 2017 Sorentos. Hurry in. There's only 10 left starting at $24,989. There's $4,001 off 2017 Kia Optima. Optimus start at just $19,709. Remember, all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. There's brand-new Kia Rios under $14,000. SMC is very motivated to sell every 2017 Kia in stock at the lowest prices of the year. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Tax and tax extra. Offers expire 9/17. Restrictions apply. Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Shikalemi coming off a great win over Sealands Grove on Friday night. That was very impressive. The NFL has a big problem right now. And for whatever reason, you know, the great quarterbacks in the history of this game take some time at some point. And look up their numbers. And you know where you're going to see what the Johnny Unitas is? The Bart Starrs. Roger Staubach. Sonny Jurgensen. Whatever. Some of the great names. And Joe Namath. You know we're going to see that they have? Dan Marino. Interceptions. Why? Because they took chances. I gave you the numbers on the quarterbacks in the first half of games, the 11 quarterbacks. And I think the one that was the toughest to swallow for me was the 4.7 yards an attempt. Nobody in this league, not I shouldn't say make it that general, very few people in this league take chances anymore. That's why I really enjoy watching Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger, you know, he'll take shots, he'll take chances, he'll hang in there, he'll look to make a play.
That's what I like about him. But how many quarterbacks fall into that category in this league? Cam Newton's a star. Cam Newton got sacked 6 times the other day in a 9-3 win over Buffalo. 9-3? And it's interesting because the NFL has now become a lot like college. You want to see your greatest improvement between your first and your second game of the year. Why is that? Because hardly anybody is playing worth a darn in the preseason. So you really are going out for the first time and playing. And so now you need that second game because you already have a tape to show where you need to be better. So the pros are becoming a lot like college in that regard. And everything is so safe. It's ding, dunk, ding. What are you doing? You can't. I mean, the completion percentages in the NFL are off the charts right now. And nobody's going anywhere. What was it the other day? I'm trying to think of which quarterback. In the first half, was 13 to 16 passing. Wow. For 74 yards. What? 13 of 16 for 74 yards? Tyrod Taylor was 5 of 7. Okay, not a lot of attempts. 5 of 7. 17 yards on his 5 completions. What is going on with this league? Everybody is just playing it so safe, so close to the vest. Nobody's opening up. That's why, for example, the Raiders are playing on Sunday Night Football. Can't wait. They open things up.
Yeah, for years and years, you know. Who's the most beloved player on the team? Yeah, the backup quarterback, but the Steelers' Charlie Batch. Well, his nickname was Check Down Charlie.
Yeah, but a backup quarterback, I don't mind. You're a backup quarterback for a reason. But you look at... let me call this up. I'll call it up quickly. Let's see. Johnny Unitas would be considered one of the great quarterbacks in the history of the game, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So he has always been considered to be among those that would fall into the category of the gold standard.
Should have been a Steeler, but I digress.
Still bitter to this day.
Yeah.
You're bitter.
I know.
Okay?
What were they thinking?
So here's Johnny Unitas. Completed 54.6% of his passes in his career. He threw 290 touchdowns, including a record 40 games in a row. And he threw 253 interceptions. So in 211 games, he threw 290 touchdown passes. And he threw 253 interceptions. But he got the ball downfield, didn't he? His greatest years, okay? 58, they won the title. 19 TDs, 7 picks. 59, they repeated as champions. 32 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. 1960, 25 and 24. 61, not so good. 16 and 24, okay? 62, 23 and 23. 63, 20 and 12. Now, 64, they got to the NFL title game against the Browns. They lost, but 19 and 6. A little more careful. And these are on Colts teams that played and won a lot of games. Hey, this guy's a gold standard. Hey. He took chances. Now, his playoffs, 7 touchdowns, 10 picks, but that includes the 4 interception game against the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game in 71. So you're talking 7-6 at his other postseason games. Look, he got the ball downfield. And this is one of the gold standards of all time. You know, there's five quarterbacks right now playing that would be in the Johnny Unitas category.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.